Let's bow our heads and pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise you for Christmas time. We thank you for all the blessings that are given. And we thank you for that first Christmas time when Jesus came, the Word of God, the Son of God, incarnate. And Lord, we thank you that you didn't come as an adult. You came as a fetus inside a womb, and you were born and you grew just like we did. And we thank you that you are the Son of Man, the Son of God. You are our perfect Savior. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless our time together this evening in the Nativity service, and bless each one of us here. May we have a fresh glimpse of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And we thank you and praise you for all your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Robbie is going to speak first before the boys and girls come down the stairs, so I'll hand over to Robbie now.
Thank you very much. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. My house, it started about middle of October. Be glad when it's over. Four young children, in case you didn't know. One about that age. How old's he? How old? 18. Have a great Christmas, young man. I'm not actually going to start this epilogue. This will be very short, 15 minutes, no more. Talking about wise men or shepherds or Mary or Joseph or angels or mangers or anything like that, I am going to choose one small short text from the Apostle Paul writing to a first century church in a place called Corinth. And he's writing about generosity, he's writing about Christian giving. He said it's all an act of God's grace, and then he says, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. What is that inexpressible gift? Well, we remember it at this time of year, most of all in the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ by God the Father. It doesn't appear on any Christmas cards, but it really should, because it's a gift wrapped from heaven. And so for a short time we're going to look at this inexpressible gift, wrapped in swaddling clothes by his mother, but according to the scriptures, wrapped in prophecy, wrapped in history, wrapped in mystery. And the baby Jesus was wrapped in all three, promised ahead of time, arriving in the fullness of time, coming from eternity into time. So wrapped in prophecy, how do you wrap an inexpressible gift? Physically, of course, the mother wraps him in swaddling clothes. But according to the Bible, this gift was foretold long before that first Christmas. Because Jesus Christ didn't just suddenly drop out of heaven. He was prepared hundreds of years beforehand. Prophet Isaiah tells us, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. In other words, the child is anticipated. But his first coming was not only foretold. The same prophet Isaiah tells us that his second coming is also foretold. But in this Christmas story, Isaiah says, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. Child, ancestry, son, royal line, born, human parentage, given, divine gift. So when Mary's carrying that son, born of the Spirit, Joseph is the earthly father through the line of David, it is a gift to sinful humanity. But Isaiah will go on to tell us that this same Christ will come again. The government shall be on his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there'll be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it in justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. He's telling us that world government will be his executive authority. He's wonderful. He outstrips what humankind can comprehend. He's a counselor. He'll rule with divine wisdom and knowledge. He's mighty God. He's deity. He's everlasting Father. He'll provide perpetual care for his people. He's Prince of Peace. He will bring reconciliation between God and man. And so when another prophet called Micah tells us that this child will be born in a little town of Bethlehem, we can know that this inexpressible gift was anticipated the first time, so he can be anticipated the second time. He's wrapped in prophecy. Secondly, he's wrapped in history, because this child will come, Bethlehem, when God wanted him to come. The appointed time. In fact, the Apostle Paul, writing to another church, tells us this. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. You see, the thing is, with prophecy, it's woven into history. Prophecy may tell us what will happen. History tells us when it will happen. And it'll happen in God's time. And that's exactly what happened in Bethlehem. If you take the wider picture of this period, Rome has just conquered the known world. She's built roads to facilitate travel. She's got legions in every outpost. The Greek language and culture has brought a cohesion to society. All the old mythological gods of Rome and Greece were losing their hold on the common people. Everything was set, hearts, minds, society, for the coming of God's King. It was into that situation, in the fullness of time, says Paul, that God sent forth his Son. And he was also telling his own people, the Jews, that the law of Moses that they'd had for the last 1300 years had done its work of preparation. But God's people were now ready to grow up and receive the one who would fulfill that law. Jesus, born of a woman. Society's ready. God's people are ready. And Jesus Christ now comes to free mankind from the enslavement of dark powers which had ruled this world. It all started that Christmas. In the fullness of time. In history, God brings a census. Joseph comes. Works through history to bring about prophecy. Jesus, the inexpressible gift, came in the fullness of time, wrapped in history. Well, thirdly and finally, he's also wrapped in mystery, because we can be very earthy about Christmas. God sent his Son down here, but we should never forget the sheer mystery of eternity breaking through into time. There's no indescribable, inexpressible gift if there's no mystery. God becomes visible in human form. God-man, fully human, fully divine. It's breathtaking in its depth and mystery. How does the presence of deity come to this earth? How does he become flesh and dwell among us? How does he not become contaminated by our sin? Even more, why does God even bother to lower himself at all, to come to us, to serve us, to die for us? Such is the mystery of divine love. And how does that death, meant for evil, turn out to be for good, the very means by which men could be saved? I think that is why the Apostle Paul elsewhere so marvels at the mystery of it all, at the coming of Jesus Christ that Christmas. He writes these words: though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself to the point of death and obedience, even death on a cross. We have a pre-existent God, Christ, in the form of God, becoming fully human, taking on our flesh, mysteriously never ceasing to remain divine, but stooping in condescending love. And that incarnation points to the sacrificial death of Easter. Divine humiliation for our salvation. That is the mystery of God. In fact, that's why we sing that Christmas hymn. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. That's the inexpressible gift. Very understated, no palace, just a stable, no princess, just a virgin peasant girl, no party, just obscurity. But it was in the pathos of these surroundings that God's Son came wrapped in mystery. So the prophets foretold the what, history tells us the when, mystery points to the how. But like every gift, just like the one at the bottom of your tree tomorrow, they need to be unwrapped. It needs to be opened. The inexpressible gift needs to be received. And that would be the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ himself, through repentance and faith, bringing reconciliation with God. Merry Christmas, everyone, and enjoy the Nativity. Thank you, Norman.
Thanks very much, Roby. Angela, I wonder if you could, or two Angelas sitting next to each other. Angela Muir, sorry, nay, Angela Muir, Angela Smart. Or you could both gang up if you want, to tell the bairns to come down, the two Angelas. Anyway, if one of you could go up and tell the troops to come down, it would be great. Yeah, super, thank you. And while we're waiting for them, Ed, hands up for who wants to stretch their legs. Oh, Kenneth, that's unbelievable. Two folk, three folk. Okay, you can keep your seats. We'll sing the first three verses seated of O Come All Ye Faithful, Andrew.
Thank you. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being just a man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. As he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins." All of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," meaning God is with us. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own towns to register for the census, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He travelled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took Mary with him, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time. And whilst they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him in snuggly strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the village inn. That night, some shepherds were in the field outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly frightened, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you will recognize him. You will find a baby lying in a manger wrapped in snuggly strips of cloth." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to all whom God favors."
Someone to be found. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Search for the boy who will bring us all joy. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. We're the shepherds and here's our plan. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Find baby Jesus in Bethlehem. We sat in the fields with our flocks that night. The angel came, it was such someone to be found. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Search for the boy who will bring us all joy. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. We're the shepherds and here's our plan. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Find baby Jesus in Bethlehem. This day in David's town you'll see the Saviour who will set you. The sign the angel said, a manger for his bed. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Down to the town, there's someone to be found. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Search for the boy who will bring us all joy. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. We're the shepherds and here's our plan. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Sky was filled with thousands more, all angels praising God. It's true, there's one thing left to do. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Down to the town, there's someone to be found. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Search for the boy who will bring us all joy. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Shepherds, and here's our plan. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Find baby Jesus in Bethlehem. Find baby Jesus in Bethlehem. Find baby Jesus in Bethlehem.
I hear the angels singing, "Hallelujah." shepherds wandered, they couldn't hide it, told everyone in sight. All were amazed when they heard how God came down on a glorious night. God came down on this glorious night. I hear the angels sing.
They're daying off a wheel, aren't they? They really are special. Special. Every one of you. Because we're a bit short in number tonight. You see, some folk are in a wheel. Some folk are in holiday. And you know, you can't help being near Weel, and well, you can't help being old either, I suppose, really. But never mind, you're doing great, you really are. Now, I've sympathy with you guys, because you're needing to stretch your legs, aren't you? Yes. See the three folk it was desperate to stand up on? You're okay now, we're going to stand for a scene, okay? We're going to sing four verses, Andrew, of this scene, while shepherds watched their flocks by night. Let's stand to sing this.
Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where's the newborn King of the Jews? We have seen his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Herod was deeply disturbed by the question, as was all of Jerusalem. After this interview, the wise men went their way once again. The star appeared to them, guiding them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child and his mother, Mary, were, and they fell down before him and worshipped him. They opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
tree remind you of the one who trusts the Lord, who walks the paths of godliness and loves to hear God's word. Pray that as you grow up, that's just how you will be, standing tall for Jesus like a Christmas tree. Let your love show, ho, ho, let your faith grow, ho, ho, that everyone will know Christ the King of Christmas. Well, let the fairy lights remind you of that bright and shining star, spotted by the wise men who traveled from afar. They gave Jesus all their treasures and they worshipped him that night. Let your worship of King Jesus shine like fairy lights. Let your love shine, ho, ho, let your faith grow, ho, ho, that everyone will know Christ the King of Christmas. Well, let the candy cane remind you of God's amazing grace. Red the blood of Jesus as he suffered in our place. White the full forgiveness won as Jesus rose again. You can tell your friends the gospel with a candy cane. Let your love show, ho, ho, let your faith grow, ho, ho, that everyone will know Christ the King of Christmas. Gifts at Christmas time, fill your heart with praise to God for all his goodness shown in oh so many ways. That every day in every way would be completely his. Give your life to Jesus as a Christmas gift. Let your love show, ho, ho, let your faith grow, ho, ho, that everyone will know. Let your love show, ho, ho, let your faith grow, ho, ho, that everyone will know.
Nathan and Andrew play the first verse as an instrumental, then we'll keep our seats and sing the three verses, okay?
before we sing this song, in a Monday meeting, I asked one of the bairns if they wanted to sing. Fa's got a favourite. And they said, Baby Shark. So I said, well, we can't sing Baby Shark, but I'll get different words for you. So this is our version of Baby Shark. And it's better than There's a City, We Sausage Rolls. We're better than this scene. But you can see what you think after. But feel free, you can all join in because the words are up for you. But this is the children's meeting version of Baby Shark.
Angela, I need your help for us. I helped you. You started. Come on now, come on. That's it now.
I just deliberately
did that.
Off it, Owen.
That'll be lovely.
Off?
Is that okay? Is it Owen? Oh, no, Owen. Owen. Owen.
Sure?
Aye, that's fine.
Right.
That's fine, thank you. And now, boys and girls, I think they deserve a total round of applause. Amazing, amazing. I'll tell you fit. Just because I'm wanting to sit down, I think you guys would sit down, Wuma, would you? Would you like to sit down here? See, Larry the Lamb has not been a show in for a wee while. And see, he bides in Rebecca's bedroom. And I never get into Rebecca's bedroom. Oh. See, this is what happens when your hands is full, you see. Now, I've got a friend home of the day, Matthew. In fact, it's not just for today. This is Christine's special friend. And this is her here. Guess what her name is? What do you think? Would you like to guess her name, Niamh? I'll give you a clue. She's got a sweet name. No sweeties. That's close. That's close. If you eat too much of it, you could be sick. What do you think that is? That could be anything, couldn't it? Sorry? Who? No. Honey. Put your hands up if you like honey. Do you like honey?
Yeah.
Honey is good for you, but if you eat too much of it, you could be sick. But let me tell you something about honey. Honey the bear, the she-bear, Imogen. Honey is from Crimond Nursery, and the pupils, or whatever you call them, children,
at Crimmin Nursery, their job is to look after honey, right? So they get a shot of honey. How long do they get a shot of honey for? Like, is it a night, a weekend? And then they have to look after honey, right? They have to take photos of honey in different clays, and they have to look after her. Is that good, Imogen?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. I've seen the book with the stories that's been written about honey and the kind of things that honey has done and the families that have looked after honey, and it's been lovely. It's been lovely. Even our paws is feeling okay. Feel like paws. Is that nice?
Yeah.
That's nice. I think she would be hurt as well if she hurt her paw against the manger as well, Matthew, like you. Again, I'm sure Joseph had the same problem.
No.
The
frankincense fell on my
foot. Oh, the frankincense fell on your foot. Well, maybe it happened to Joseph as well. I'm not sure. Really, we didn't read about that, but, well, there you go. Okay, that's a shame. But listen, the reason I'm telling you about honey, first of all, is feel free to take a photo of honey, right? We could maybe take a photo at the end or something. We all be together if all the parents is permission or not. And you could get a photo of honey, and that could go on a Crimmin Nursery book to say that honey was a Christmas nativity for all the boys and girls. Did really, really well. And honey, I would say this is a highlight of honey's lifetime in Crimmin Nursery. Because Kenneth, she's not just biding with us for a weekend, she's biding with us for 2 weeks. And I'll tell you something, I've been into Asda to get Christmas presents for her a day, and you think I'm joking, I'm not. And Angela, thank you for putting on her pyjamas. The only thing is, she's seen it on for 2 days. It's a proper Christmas, I'm telling you. She's just in a couple of pajamas days, that's okay. She's on holiday, right, Imogen? That's right. Now, let me tell you this. We've got a privilege, Christine's got the privilege of looking after honey for 2 weeks in the house. And she's got to write something up about us, right? Now, that's lovely. Now, let me tell you a story. It happened on Friday night, Jean. It was late at night, right? And Christine says, "Well, honey," and I said, "Fit." And she says, "I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking to the bear." Honey, I love you as well. Oh, is that what I say? It's the first time she's got my honey in 32 years. But Ken, something. Honey is a really good bear. And Christine has got the privilege of looking after honey for 2 weeks, right? Now, let me tell you something. I love Christine. I do. And Christine loves me. Sometimes. But let me tell you, God loves you. Yes, he does. He loves everyone who is here, regardless of whether we're very old, like me, because I'm over 50 now, Ruth. Thank you, Ruth. Or very young. It doesn't matter how old you are. God loves you. And you can something else. If you trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and the Bible says it says to taste and see that the Lord is good, then God lives inside you. He does. and you can carry him about. Now, that sounds amazing because God is so big and so high and so low and so wide that how can we possibly contain God? And yet, if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, love came down at Christmas, and he came down for you and me and everybody here. And he lives inside us, and we can take care of him, which sounds a bit strange to say, but we need to be careful to take care of the Lord, but he really takes care of us. But we can help. We can help him. We can thank him. We can praise him. We can worship him. We can kneel down to him. We can speak to him. And not just at 12 o'clock at night, but at any time of the day. We don't even need to use words because he cares for his in our hearts, right? So that's a wee story about the importance of trusting in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, because that's why he came. In fact, one song that we didn't sing at night, which we could actually sing just now because you all can it, is John 3:16. John 3:16. In fact, we'll play it. I knew, Andrew. Silent. Have we sung Silent Night? Aye, we have. See, I suffer for short-term memory loss, so I can't remember. But let's sing Silent Night to John 3:16. If you didn't ken us, here, look in the PowerPoint and see if John 3:16 is there, Rebecca, and we can sing it together before we sing a lost hymn, Carl, and then we'll close in prayer. But you've been really good tonight, boys and girls, and you're so tired that you're going to sleep all night tonight, and you're going to hear a long lie in the morning, aren't you?
And we're not even
going to
notice Santa.
You're not even going to notice Santa because you're going to be sleeping. Is that right?
Always notice Santa.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Okay, let's sing a scene then to the tune of Silent Night. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but sing it again. John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him Now, Catherine Matthew says to me last night, you doing a quiz in morning's night? And I says, always not sure, like, Ken. But God willing, if we're here next year, Catherine, I'll prepare a quiz. Now, and of course, God is not here, so it doesn't matter, because I'll just wait till he comes back next year. That's okay. But the question is, what is the question? Exactly, what is the question? Do you ken what the question is? That's good, because I didn't ken the answer either. But let me tell you, the Bible is full of questions. But it doesn't matter about questions. It's about Jesus Christ. That's what it is about, Jesus Christ. And it's a romance, Imogen. Now, can I ask you, have you got a boyfriend, Imogen? No, not yet. Well, you'll start romancing at some point in time, Dad and Mum. And it'll be happy. You'll be happy. But ken something? The greatest romance is God's love for you and me and our love for him. That is the greatest romance. And so we have to give our hearts and lives to him and live for him every day, Matthew. Is that right? That's lovely. Okay, let's stand and sing our final carol. Now, we'll stay for a cup of tea because that curtain's going to come back and you'll get a hot apple pie if it's hot enough yet. And a cup of tea, okay. Have a great Christmas, everybody. There is a Christmas Day service tomorrow, by the way, here in the hall at 10:30. Just a short one, but you see, so dinna sleep in. I can, you know, you're going to sleep a long time a night, okay?
Wait, you mean the show and tell, but not church?
Oh, you can take that. If you're getting on hang, of course. I mean, you know, it's only if you're a good boy, can I mean?
I'm open for breakfast.
Are you a good boy?
No.
With sisters like that, who needs enemies? But never mind. Let's stand and sing our final choral, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Okay.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Closing prayer. Thank you very much, everybody, for coming, and have a lovely, lovely Christmas. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, just have a peaceful Christmas, and do stay for a cup of tea just in a few moments, but let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and we pray this Christmas time that we would appreciate afresh your love, your grace, your faithfulness, and your presence. We give you our thanks and pray your blessing upon each one of us here. In Jesus' name, amen.